Today I want to discuss what's going to be an important and interesting question that comes up when specifically dealing with times of war, battle, the army, and so on, continuing in our discussions. There's a little cord here. And that is specifically regarding the army and Sifrei Torah. Right? You might think inherently, what's the connection with the army and Sifrei Torah? And many, many questions come out as a result of this discussion. The question that we want to really discuss today is, halachically, the theology of it and the hashkafa behind it we'll touch on briefly at the beginning, but that's not going to be the main focus of our discussion tonight, is, well, when you go out to battle or you go out for a training exercise, are you allowed to bring a Sefer Torah with you? Let's say, right, you are with a group of soldiers, you guys have a minion, and you're going to be in the field for a week or for a unknown amount of time, such as the chevra in the army now. Don't know when they're going to come back, you know, off base or come back even to base, right? We'll touch on that in a minute. Right, when you're on base, there's shuls, there's Torahs, there's this, right? You have everything you need. When you're going out to the field for a week of training, you bring your tazen and tefillin with you, you bring your sitter, you bring a sefer or two, but there's no shul. What about for days when there's Torah reading? So the question that then comes up is, are you allowed to bring a sefer Torah out with you to the field? Are you allowed to bring a Torah out to Shetach during your imunim, during your training, in order to then lane on Monday and Thursday? What about Shabbos? When you're out in the field for Shabbos, are you allowed to bring a Torah to the field for Shabbos so that you can be Yotze and hear Torah reading on Shabbos morning? Let's up the ante a little bit for a minute. What's going to be the halacha when you walk into battle? You're now going into battle, as the Torah tells us, Ki Teitzei LeMilchama. One, you're going out to war. Okay, so are you allowed to bring a Sefer Torah with you into Gaza, into Lebanon, into Syria, into wherever it is that you are currently going? Are you allowed to bring a Torah with you? The question that we're going to have to discuss is,
it's us to bring any holy Sefer into Eretz. So if you're going into Syria, outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Okay, so first off, the Yerushalmi there says explicitly that Syria is considered Eretz Yisrael. Syria has exclusive Eretz Yisrael, at least for the southern part of Syria. Okay, includes Syria. Machloket Rishonim, Lemaisa.
Finally invade Iran.
Okay, Lemaisa. Regarding Gaza, Rov Rishonim assume Gaza is part of Eretz Yisrael. There's a sheet of the Ma'arit that holds that Gaza is actually not considered Eretz Yisrael halachically. But we're not going to get into the halachic definitions of Eretz Yisrael now. Correct, that is the opinion of the Yerushalmi. Lemaisa, that Yerushalmi is not paskined, right? Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin, Perek Gimel, Halacha Tet, at the very end of the Perek there. Great, I'm glad that you... Does that mean you listened to my Shiur Ma'ayot about this? Or we discussed this in the past, or...
No, I just don't call
the Rukul. It's an important one. But the real mice of the Rambam and the Yerushalm and the Yerushalkan Arach don't pass again like this. The Rav Vadi has a tshuva in Yabi Omer Chet Choshen Mishpat, I believe Simon Dalet about this. I remember when I was talking about this sugya with the Ramital. He told me, he said, I have a much easier time being matir guys to ship their svarim to Chutz La'aretz than to allow the guys themselves to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's a much, much bigger iser, is for guys to leave Eretz Yisrael than their svarim. But let's leave that aside right now. Right now we're discussing on the assumption that the army, right, you're going to do a training exercise within the gvulos of Eretz Yisrael, within Israel proper. Or, yeah, going out training, you do training, you don't do your training in the base when it's involving, you know, a 60 kilometer hike. Or driving your tanks and your Pumas and your Nemerim and the brand new Eitan that they just brought out into battle for the first time. That, you know, that wasn't even really whatever. There's a lot to discuss. So the question we're going to start out with is the broader question of, right, are you allowed to move a Sefer Torah? Are you allowed to bring a Sefer Torah from place A to place B? Are you going to be able to do, does that matter if there's an Aron Kodesh or not? And how's that going to apply both in times of army exercises and in regards to training and then more? So as a Divrei that I want to start out with, right? The Torah tells us in Devarim and Perek Chaf in the Parsha of Ki Teitzei, discussing the halachos of when you go out to war and the reasons why one maybe, you know, is allowed to come out from war. The Torah then tells us in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Dalet, Ki Hashem Elokeichem Alechim Achem Nilachem Lachem Im Avechem Loshiatchem. Hashem, when you go out to battle, Hashem is inherently with you, right? Many of you are familiar with this pasuk. We say it during the Mishaberach, but for the Chayalim. But there's an idea, the Torah tells us very, very clearly, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tangentially and physically or metaphysically with you when you're going out to war. When you go out to war, you're not on your own. Hashem is going out to battle with you. That's something we don't take lightly. Maybe that's going to be a source that when you go out to battle, you should be bringing the Sefer Torah. We'll see that maybe a different source for that in a minute. Okay? Hashem, when you go, you're going out to war, you're not just going out on your own. You're going out to war with a Kadosh Baruch Hu on your side, in your pocket, per se. The Torah then tells us in Bamidbar regarding the battle that we had with the Midianim. Right, regarding Pinchas, with the whole story with Midian. So Moshe sent out Aluf Lamateh, the generals of Tzava, and he also sent Pinchas ben Elazar Kohen. That's also a source. But remember, we discussed 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago regarding Kohanim going out to the army. The pasuk tells us clearly that Pinchas HaKohen went out to battle, right? And Uklei HaKodesh v'chatzotot tru'a biyado. And he sent out the holy vessels and the trumpets. Okay? From there, the pasuk seems very clear that there's four different aspects of war. There is the generals, the war. Then there's the Kohen that's going out to war with them. There's the Klei Kodesh. We'll have to figure out what that means. And the Chatzotrot, the trumpets. The Mishnah tells us in Sotan Daf Mem Bet on Aleph in the right that the Kohen Mashuach Milchama, who is coming and giving the shir, the shmuz right before everyone went into battle, he would speak in Hebrew. And one of the things he said, he quoted this pasuk: Hashem Alechichim Achem Ha'hem Ba'in Binitzcho Chano Shel Basar Adam Ve'atem Ba'in Binitzcho No Shel Makom. Our mindset when we go out to war. The Goyim, when they're fighting wars, they're thinking about their glory, they're thinking about the money, they're thinking about killing people, they're thinking practically very much about this world. When we go out to battle, our mindset is not on what's good for me, what do I want, I'm not thinking about the loot and the booty. I consider we could maybe share on that next week if the Chevra want, whether you're not allowed to take, are you allowed to loot the enemy in war, if they're Jews, non-Jews, how does that apply? Tshuva of Ariel, it's also very interesting about if you are in a non-Jew's house during war, do you have to, and you want to cook in their house with their dishes, you have to tovel their dishes first because you've conquered their house, does it not make it yours or not? A lot of interesting discussions on that, but not for now. If you want something interesting for that, maybe next week we could discuss that. But I want to now see, well, there's clearly a difference. Our mindset, we're going out to war, is not about my benefit, it's not about my territorial expansion, it's about Kfor HaShemayim. It's about going out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara then, later on, at the very end of Mem Bet Amud Bet, and the very beginning of Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, tells us even more so, quotes our pasuk regarding Pinchas. What's it saying? First it says, when you go out to battle, Hashem v'chol kinu'iv munachim baron. Kinu'av, right? Hashem and all of his attributes, all of his quote-unquote nicknames, all of the different facets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are within the Aron that you're bringing out to war. Then it continues and says, what's going on? Quotes this pasuk of Yishlach Moshe. And it says, what's the Otam? Who's the Otam? That's referring to the Sanhedrin. And what's Pinchas? That's the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. Klei Kodesh, that is the Aron, and the Luchot that are inside of it. And the Chatzotot V'Truah, that's referring to the Shofar, which we know from the Rambam discussed during times of war, there's a mitzvah to blow the Truah, to blow the Shofar, to blow the Chatzotot, to bring a certain Hisorus, a certain level of Tefillah, because part of our battle cry is not just physicality, but it's also Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash in the Medrash Tanhuma points out what's the Kli Kodesh. It's specifically referring to the Aron Kodesh and also the Tzitz, bringing different Psukim, quoted by the Das Dekanim on Rashi over here, and others as well. Because the Tzitz and the Aron Kodesh both are using, they have the phrase Kodesh LaHashem, which is referring to here with the Kli Kodesh, as the Pasuk says. So that's why there's a Raya that both are, it's referring to the Aron Kodesh and the Tzitz, because the Tzitz said Kodesh LaHashem on it. The Rambam Paskins in Sefer Melachim, Mishnah Torah Sefer Melachim, the very beginning of Perek Gimel, that when a king becomes king, he has to write 2 Sifrei Torah. One he would
carry with him all the time.
Carry with him all the time. And the other one, he would put in his storehouse, he would put it in his treasury. And then the halach of the Rambam continues, and he says, the one that he carried with him all the time, right, he would always carry with him, except, and it would never leave in his presence, except for when he went to the bathroom and when he went to shower. Okay?
How big was this?
Machloket Rishonim, whether or not it was a full Sefer Torah, or sorry, Machloket in the Gemara, in Chazal already, it was a full Sefer Torah, if it was just Sefer Dvarim. Rav Ariel in his Tshuva, which is on the sheets later, I didn't bring this part, brings that actually as a nafkamina for our sugya a little bit. If you assume that it was just Sefer Dvarim, that maybe that would change how we relate to the Shaila.
I was at a shir about this when I was in the Flamer, and with the point that one of the points that was mentioned was that there is an individual, one of those crazy rich guys who can do crazy rich people things with this crazy money, commissioned a Sefer Torah. It cost $250,000 or something. It's this big.
Yeah.
So you can have a Sefer Torah.
For sure.
That's like the size of a
Torah. Correct. But
so it's really not so.
There's also a discussion, Machloka Rishonim and Gemara, also as well, of whether or not he actually carried it, or, right? I forget the exact lesson of the Rambam is no, not that was carried for him. That the lesson of the Rambam here, no, for this one, okay. Echad minachol beit gazosh, okay. Bashini lo yezim lafanav ela beitch, okay. Maybe it's not in the Talacha. Maybe it's in the Gemara and Sanhedrin over there. That it's always that it's kilu bound to his arm with straps like tefillin. That's why it's the Rambam lo yaziz. Maybe it was actually, like, you know, it wasn't, he was always wearing it like tefillin. Some want to say maybe it was actually like on a necklace type of thing. It wasn't tefillin. It was Sefer Torah. But one of the things the Rambam points out here is, Yotzei l'melchama v'huimo. When the king went to battle, he brought his personal Sefer Torah with him. Personal Sefer Torah never left his side, even in battle. So clearly, there's a precedent that's going to be brought down that the king always brought a Torah with him, even to battle. So even if you're going to assume, wait, we don't generally bring Torahs out from place A to place B, as we'll see in a minute. Maybe, well, the king, for sure, that's not the halacha. The Pitkei Tshuva in the beginning, in Hilchos, in Yordea, in Siman Reish Pei Bet, regarding Hilchos Sefer Torah, I didn't bring this on the sheet, but he quotes from, I forget who, Rav Katz, I forget what his first name was, which Rav Katz he's quoting, that he said, I don't understand why this is a massive chiddush, you know, why the king's going to bring his Torah with him everywhere, that, you know, that, whatever. And he basically says that based on making a dig in the Ram and Hilchos Avelos, Hilchos Avel, that this is actually a din, especially a din that's unique to the king because it's about Kavod HaMelech, and maybe according to that opinion in the Pitkei Tshuva, you couldn't learn from the king to elsewhere, but Lamaisa, many others, including Rav Goren, definitely do learn from the king to others. Why is it that the king is going to carry his Torah with him everywhere? Or what's the inyan of bringing a Torah out to battle with you? The Sharim by Godor HaChazal on our Gemara, on Mishnah and Sota bring out very simply that when you're going out to battle, you bring the Aron HaBrit with you that has the broken luchos in it, and it's showing that tangentially, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually coming out to the battlefield with you. Hashem is Yored Itcha Imanu to Stam Milchama. He's going out to the field, to the battlefield. And that is what the pasuk is telling us. It's showing us that it's not just that, you know, metaphysically God's with us, but we're actually bringing, quote unquote, a more tangible, godly object to the field, which is indicating, it also is giving chizik to the soldiers. Look, Hashem's with us. The Torah is here. The Aron's here. It's real. We know stories all throughout Tanakh that they brought the Aron out to battle. The Al-Sheikh in his commentary on Bamidbar goes further and says, there are some people that are chalutzets of other soldiers, b'neshek barzel, with the metal swords, metal guns. Okay. Asher kli melchamayim chuzmenu. And then he says, v'yesh asher kli melchamatomi menu batzmo. There's some who, these swords are themselves, which is shehem Torah v'amitzvot. Asher hem eginimbo. There's some people who their form of battle is through their Torah, their mitzvah. That's what's protecting them. That's what's protecting everyone else. That's right. You guys aren't out to war. You guys are learning 24 hours a day, protecting Klai, so protecting our soldiers. Right? Last week, the Samchat Givati came out and said, I'm asking that everyone in Yeshiva, everyone should be, we're begging that you daven and tehillim, and say tehillim and learn Torah from 2 to 5. Those are the hardest hours of fighting. Non-from guy. Said these are the hours that statistically are the hardest battles and where we've lost more soldiers than any other point. And a non-from guy said, I'm asking everyone who's learning in Yeshiva and Kolel to be awake from 2 to 5 every night because that's when we're having the hardest battles and we need your tefillahs even more. Okay? That's what the Al-Sheikh is saying, okay? And that's what he's saying specifically here, that there is a form of a weapon, a neshek, that's the Torah and the, right? That's why we're bringing it to war. Rav Hirsch also says something similar. That as a result, when you're going out to battle, you're fighting for the Aron, you're fighting for the Torah, you're not just fighting for yourself, like we said before. Part of the identity of your battle is, look, we're representing Torah values. We're fighting the war of Hashem. Lemana Torah v'nosea. Not just for the Torah, but for the people of the Torah, for the ideologies of the Torah. We're fighting to protect the Torah. This is the Melchamta Shel Torah. We're trying to make sure that we're able to live safely and securely, to live lives of Talmud Torah. The Malam also says there's two different types of war. That's why he says there's the war that they sent out the 12,000 soldiers to fight Midian. And he says, there's no way 12,000 soldiers is enough to defeat Midian. Midian was so much bigger than us, so much stronger than us. There's so much that must be going on here that what's protecting us is there's a two-faced battle. There's the battle of the physical soldiers, the 12,000 soldiers. And then what the Malbim points out is the Milchemet HaNes. We won the battle. It was genuinely a miracle, the Malbim points out. Because that was because they had the Torah, and that's why The pasuk discusses during the war of Amalek, the Aron was with Moshe Rabbeinu. And many ask, I don't get that the war goes out, the Aron goes out to Muhammad. So there's those that want to point out there are actually two Arons. There's one that would stay in the base of the Mikdash, there's one that would go out to battle. But either way, that would strengthen, I think, this idea that Lamaisa, part of our battle, is this two-faced attack of one is we're going out to fight, and the other is that we are also davening, we're screaming out to Hashem, we're saying Tehillim, we're saying we're learning Torah, we're learning starker than ever before. Today the chief rabbin at Rav Shechter, Rav Rimon, and others called for a Yom Tzom, a Yom of Tzvila, a fast day for Yom Kippur Katan, a special davening. I don't know what the chavre, if you guys laned the Mincha and said Avinu Avarachamim, etc. But you know, that's a strong aspect of the Melchama that we're trying to fight. That's why the Malbim says it was actually part of the miracle. This was a Melchama's Nes. So now I want to shift and try and see a little bit. Well, the premise of our question is working on the assumption that Lamaisa, there is a Isser to bring a Sefer Torah out. You're not allowed to bring a Torah from place A to place B. The Mishnah in Yuma, in the beginning of the 7th parak, discusses this, that when the Kohen Gadol would lean from the Torah on Yom Kippur, they would bring the Sefer Torah to write, Bo lo Kohen, the Krot Imratza, okay, which calls the Kohen, doesn't matter, okay, fine. And then the chazan of the Knesset would take the Sefer Torah and give it to the head of the Knesset, who then gave it to the Skan Kohen Gadol, and the Skan Kohen Gadol gave it to the Kohen Gadol, who would then take the Torah and stand and read it. Okay, pretty simple. There was kind of like a procession. It's kind of like, you know, he does psicha and he gives it to that guy and they pass it along. It's like a bris milah where he takes the baby and puts on the kisei aliyahu. He takes it off the kisei aliyahu. There's the kvater, there's the sadik. We're just passing the baby around a lot. We're passing the Torah around a lot. Okay. But the Yerushalmi, both in Sota, Parag Zayin Halacha Vav, and in Yuma on Halacha Zayin, Parag Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Yerushalmi in both places asks on this halacha. This Mishnah. The Mishnah says they pass the Torah around to the Kohen. But it's very, very simple. How could you tell me that they passed the Torah around until it got to the Kohen? Right? We generally say, right? We always go to the Torah. We don't bring the Torah to us. We go to the Torah. Right? When the Torah comes out from the Aron Kodesh, you're supposed to go to the Torah and kiss it. You're not supposed to wait for the Torah to come to you. Right? Kiss Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to go to the Torah, you kiss it, then you bow your head a little bit and you follow the Torah a little bit. We're bringing ourselves the Torah. We're not Bali Gaiva who wait for the Torah to come to us. We're trying to bring the Torah. We're trying to bring ourselves the Torah. That's our goal in life. We're striving always to bring ourselves closer to the Torah, not to wait for the Torah to magically come to us. Then the Yerushalmi says, well, maybe it's different because he was the Kohen Gadol, he was an Adam Gadol, he was Talmid Chacham, he was great, and that's why he brings that from the Raya, they brought the Torah out to the Reish Galuta, to the head of the Jewish community. And then ends off the Yerushalmi also says, right, there was a story of the quote, that also David HaMelech would had the Torah wrapped around his arm, just like the minhag of the fathers, that was the minhag of the kings. So maybe there is a source and a placement to say, well, for an Adam Gadol, like the Kohen Gadol, or David HaMelech, or the kings, there is a source to say that for someone who's an Adam Chashuv, a very serious or high-statured individual, so then we'll actually bring the Torah to them, but that is not the norm, that is the exception, right? Don't worry, Mo, we'll quote a Gra in a minute for you. The Mordechai, most Rishonim don't bring this. This halakha is not brought down in the Rambam, okay? But the Mordechai and the Or Zeruah and the Haggadah Shri do discuss this. The Mordechai I brought in the sheets here brings this down. I saw written in a tshuva that there were chashuv people in jail, right? Unfortunately, you know, Jews have always been in jail, whether that was against their will because of, you know, anti-Semitic governments or, you know, money laundering and all the other, you know, crime. Right? There's three jails in America that have kosher chadar ochels and minyanim and daf yomi shirim because there's just a lot of, you know, eschatai hazkirayom as a community. On one hand, it's amazing, you know. Wow, they have kosher. They're makbid. They go to jail, but they care about daf yomi and yanim and kosher food. And it was like oilanu that's the situation. But that's a discussion. Okay. So the Mordechai says there were people that they asked the question as to whether or not they're allowed to bring the Sefer Torah to the chevra that are in jail, so they can hear laning. They want to hear laning. They're in jail. They can't go. They can't go to shul. So can I bring the Torah to them?
Is it mutter to break out of jail? If it doesn't involve killing someone.
And then the Mordechai then says, right, it's usher to bring the Torah to them, even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Rav Yaakov Ariel in the Shas and Tshuvos Ba'ol HaShel Torah has a Tshuva that's discussing a similar case to ours, which is if you and you and a few chaver during Beis Manim, you want to go on a hike. You're going to go on a hike for 5-6 days, and you want to bring a Torah with you for your hike, so you can hear you can land when you're on the days they're supposed to be landing. Right, you're going on a teal. Oh, but if you're allowed to bring a Torah with you.
You see, we were going to do this on Yom Yom. Unfortunately, our watch page didn't
allow. Okay, so Ariel has a whole tshuva about this, albeit it's a relatively short tshuva. I brought it two places in the sources. We quote it. Then he says, we need to understand, what's the Hagdara? What's the qualification of the prohibition to bring a Torah out? Are you going to tell maybe it's because of the kavod? Maybe it's not mechubad that you're going to bring the Torah out of the shul and the mechubadik aron kodesh over here to the chevra that are in jail in the dungeons, you know, who haven't showered in weeks, who are, you know, murderers and tax launderers, etc. You're going to bring it out to the field, right? And that's not mechubad. It's you're bringing it to a not masudar place. It's going to be messy. It's going to be dirty. It's not going to be mechubad to the Torah. Maybe that's what we're talking about. And as a result, you shouldn't carry it. This whole halacha, it requires a real tzarachin, especially when he doesn't say this, but the Rambam and others don't quote it. Most Rishonim ignore this. The Bavli does not discuss this. There's a prohibition. The Mishnah that tells us what it does about the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, and the Rishami in two places asks on this, but the Bavli doesn't discuss it. And then he says, are you going to tell me there's an Isser? If you want to learn on your own, is there an Isser for you to take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron to go learn from it, to open it up like a Chumash? Rav Rema Cohen, Shlita, the Rosh Shiva and the Rav of Otniel, right? Every Friday night, when he gives his drasha and shul in the yeshiva, he's obviously right in the yeshiva, not in the community. When he comes to give his drasha, he goes to the Aron, he opens the Aron, he takes out the Sefer Torah, and he opens it up on the Bima. They instead of like a small shtender in the front, it's big enough, he picks the Torah out, and he reads the Pesukim from the Torah. He said, that's what we're supposed to be learning from the Torah. And when he gives his shiur Friday night, he takes the Torah out when he's giving shir. That's what it's for. It's to learn from. Maybe that's why you will have a mitzvah, right? To write a Sefer Torah. The Rush Paskins that made the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah in our generation. This is the Rush 800 years ago. Says you could be yotzei your mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah by buying svarim. Because it's a mitzvah of qualitatively being able to learn Torah. So today, how often is it that you take out a Sefer Torah when you're learning? Generally, you take out your svarim to learn from. That's why the Rush... What? As a result for the Rush, that is why you're able to buy Sfarim and count that as your mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Others disagree with this, that's a whole shiur for another time, but that's what stands behind it.
Prior to
Rav Ariel saying
the invention of the printing or the widespread distribution of the printing press in the Aharonic period, so during the Rishonim period, before we had readily available Chumashim, if you wanted to study Torah from the text, the way you did so was with a Sefer Torah.
Correct, but it didn't have to be a halachically acceptable Sefer Torah. It didn't have to be written on kosher cloth, with kosher written by a sofer, right? There's many, it may be much cheaper to buy just a hand-copied volume versus a kosher one.
But if you had a kosher Sefer Torah, what would be the point of getting...
No, not everyone does. He's saying that the mitzvah is... the Rosh Hashita says that the mitzvah is about learning Torah and not about writing a Sefer Torah.
Possession. A kosher safe
correct.
Torah, what would be the point of purchasing of spending
correct money? It's not our topic for tonight. That's going to be one of the major nafkaminas about this, is if you were right, the Rambam already discussed about the king. If you were to inherit a Sefer Torah, do you have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah if you inherited a Sefer Torah? Nafkamina also. What if you buy a secondhand Sefer Torah? You can buy go on Yad Shtayim. There's Sefer Torah for sale on Yad Shtayim. Be careful that they're not always often they're stolen. It's a secondhand website in Israel. Okay. So if it's about just having a Torah, so then great. But if it's about writing a Torah and bringing more Torahs in the world, so then buying a secondhand one, it already exists. So maybe you're not yotzei your mitzvah. Okay, I don't want to get into that now. Rav Ariel then says, and also he says, the king would go out to war with the Torah, and he carried it. So, right? And also he said, on the assumption that right, the king's going out to war, and the Torah is actually wrapped on his arm with straps, like tefillin, so he didn't even have an Aron Kodesh. He didn't bring it out with a proper Aron. So as a result, it seems very clear that, you know, this isn't going to be such an issue. The Shulchan Aruch Lemaisa does paskin this halacha, even though the Rambam and the Bavli don't discuss it. The Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Talmud Torah, Hilchos Kriyas Torah and Simon Kuflam and Hey, Sivu Yudalid, says, if you have people who are in jail, you can't bring a Torah to them, even on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which is the language of the Mordechai that we saw before. The Ramah then adds, this is only if you're bringing it just for laning. But if you bring it, the Torah, a day or two in advance, then it's okay. Because then you're ki'ilu being koveh, that's the new makam of the Torah. Right? You're allowed to transfer the Torah from place A to place B. We bring a Torah sometimes to an Avel's house. When there's someone sitting Shiva, they'll bring a Torah to the Avel's house to make that daven there. But they're not going to bring it specifically for Torah reading and then drive it right away. They'll generally leave it there for the whole week. It's, you're not bringing it just for the, that exact moment. You're not bringing it to the jail, to lane, and then take it back. Shabbaton is also a discussion. But if you're bringing it before Shabbos, you bring it in an Aron, that's part of the discussion. Shabbaton is for sure, it's going to be a discussion as well. Similar to that. And then the Ramadan adds, if it's an Adam Chashuv, that's Shari. If it's going to be okay for an Adam Chashuv. The Gra, this is for Mo. The Gra, the Biura Gra, says, Adam Chashuv isn't just like a Chashuv a guy. Who's an Adam Chashuv? A Talmud Chacham. Right? Because he says, the Raya, the Yerushalmi, that talks about Adam Gadol, talking about the Kohen Gadol and the Reish Galuta. That's not just, you know, oh, he's the president of the shul, he's on the board, he's a senator, he's some chashav title, he's a CEO of a company. It's a din in Talmud Torah, he's a chashav Talmud Chacham. That's why, I know when we were doing, we're trying to make Corona Minyanim, Mori Barabi, Rav Yaakov's in Shlita, lives downstairs, and I tried to get a minion in our chazer because he wasn't going to shul, he was very, very macabre about this. And we did for one day because it was the day he had Yahrzeit, and he didn't. And I said, okay, tomorrow we'll continue. We have exactly 10 people, everyone's very careful, while wearing masks, etc., it's great. And he said, no, you can't bring a Sefer Torah to the Chatzar. I said, the Ramah says, Adam Chashev. And he said, I'm not an Adam Chashev, I'm just a normal guy. And I was like trying not to laugh. Like, he's an incredibly huge Talmud Chacham. And also just a huge Anav. But he was like, no, I don't. He said, I don't fall into the category of the Talmud Chacham for the Ramah and the Gra. Note, also a few years ago, I spent Shabbos in Tveria. And at the minyan I was davening at was Rav Avram Orbach. Rav Avram Orbach, he was the chief rabbi of Tzfat, of Tveria, and also the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He was in his late 90s, I think he's around 95 at the time maybe. And he was very old and in a wheelchair, it was very hard for him to walk. So in the middle of laning, they finished Levi, before Shlishi, they picked up the bima, they brought the table in front of him in his wheelchair, brought the Torah to where he was sitting, and they called him up. It was amazing. Yamod Rav Avram Dov ben Rav Shlomo Zalman. That was, for me, that was really cool. Like, you know, that was like one of those, like,
they couldn't have, wouldn't it have been easier to just bring him with in his wheelchair up to the?
No, because it was very hard for him. It was very painful for him to.
Okay.
I spoke about this yesterday with Rav Amital, and he's like, I don't know, it's within the same room, but it's machlokes achorna how we relate to in the same room. Rav Amital thought that was a big chumrah, but I remember the time I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Like, we don't do that generally. Baba Pashas, he was an Adam Chashev. He was the Rav Ir. He was the rabbi of the whole city. A huge hashgacha that he was giving hashgacha to lots of meat, the restaurants, etc. Major Talmud Chacham, author of many Sfarim. He's the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay? So that was an aspect of that someone with the Gra saying, that's an Adam Chashev. That's a huge Talmud Chacham. That is going to matter, and the Gra makes that ziyuk from specifically the Kohen Gadol and the Reish Galuta being the examples in the Gemara in the Yerushalmi. The Aruch HaShulchan takes this further and says, I don't really under, right, he says, if it's all about Kavod Torah, so you can't bring it from place one to place B, except for Adam Chashev, because if you bring it to an Adam Chashev, then that's part of Chashivas Torah. Okay? But if it's someone who's not Chashev, and they're just Ones, so there's Machol Garachor, how we relate to someone who's sick. There's going to be a difference between Parshat Zachor or other Parshiot. I don't want to get into that now. But if they're Ones, they're in jail, they can't come otherwise. That's their fault. I'm not going to bring the Torah because that's not Mechubad. You're bringing the Torah to them. But if someone who's an Adam Chashev, a big Talmud Chacham, their whole life is about spreading and disseminating and teaching Torah. That is part of the Chashivas. So the Aruch HaShulchan is very important about this, where he discusses that. The Taz also says, I didn't see a difference to make the Chiluk as to one or two days beforehand. And he says it must be that if you're bringing it to Tzorach HaKriya, that's not going to be okay. You're just bringing it to lane from and leave. That's not going to be okay. But if you're bringing it to be Kovea Dira, you're now setting aside a place for it, that's going to be acceptable. Magen Avraham as well, okay, brings down this well from Maran Padua. That, right, the whole point is that you're bringing it with a Sefer Torah, you're bringing it with an Aron for a day or two before, and that's going to be okay, because now you're making an Iker, Malkum for it. It's a question of not just what are you doing now, but you're making a new home for it. You're bringing Aron Kodesh with it. You're setting a sort of Kvias. That's going to be acceptable. The Mishnah Berurah and the Biur HaHalacha have a few kulas on this, and then we're going to get back into our discussion today. Great, we're good on time right now, okay? The Mishnah Berurah tells us the whole sugya behind the issur of removing a Sefer Torah is zilzul kavod Torah. It's not mechubad to bring the Torah to random Joe who's in jail, right? Yeah, so you got caught, you know, breaking into a store and stealing candy in the middle of the night. And so it's not mechubad. The Torah is going to come to you. That's mezazel, okay? The Torah is that people go to the kavod of a Torah. That people go to Torah. You go to shir. You don't just have to. You don't bring everything. You don't like just. You know, it's not mechubad. If you're going to just like. You'll tell like whoever. I'll zoom in this year from my bed, and you're sitting there like in your pajamas with like a nice coffee in bed. That's not mechubad. That's not appropriate, right? So then the Mishnah continues. No, it's a question of like you're chilling. So a day or two in advance. So the Mishnah points out for the Magen Avraham El Yarabah that this is a din is about whether or not you set aside a place to put the Torah. It's not just necessarily specifically 1 or 2 days, but it's a question of a mindset. You set aside a place for the Torah, that we'll touch on in a minute. The goal is that you're setting it aside with a place before Kriyas Torah, and so when it comes time to lain, you just go over to the Aron, you open it, you take it out. It's not like all of a sudden, right, you know, I had this once in the army, where our you know, everything changed timing-wise, and we're in the middle of davening, and we're like, you know, all looking at our clocks, like, when are they bringing the Torah? We're in the field. They said they were going to send the Torah out from the base for us to daven. It was supposed to be there before davening for this issue. And now it was like, we're in the middle of davening, it's still not there. That's not mechubad. In the middle of davening, they pull up at the truck, you go to the trunk, you take out the Torah. That's, but when it's already there, what? You do? I don't know that. It's okay.
We don't have a Torah. There's no Torah in there.
I don't know that. Okay, but it's within the same building, so there's definitely room to be makel about that. There's machol, it's machol gachronim, but lemaisa, especially when you guys are a kavua minyan. There's what to discuss. The Mishnah Berurah discuss brings that down in Bir Halacha. I'll point that out in a minute.
This one has no wall.
What?
This one has no
wall. Okay. So then the Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, right, you should make it, you put it back to the Aron. You don't, when you finish laying in the field, put it back in the car and they drive off, right? You know, before they even start Ashrei, they're already speeding off to bring the Torah back to base. You put it back in the Aron to the end. That's what you, that's now it's the Kovei Adira. He says the Torah God, Rotonu Lamar, God of a Torah, the Adra of a Torah, Mitalit, Ayidei Anashim Gedolim, V'lav Dafka Lezil Zol Atzlam. The Mishnah Berurah explains the grunt of others. Why is it God, Adam Chashev is a God of a Torah? Because the God of a Torah, his life is about teaching Torah, disseminating Torah, bringing Torah out to the masses. So he's living a life of being Marbek for a Torah. So inherently, the personality of a Gadol B'Torah, an Adam Chashev, is being Mechabe, the Torah, giving, teaching Torah, learning Torah, engaging in Torah. So the Torah coming to him is part of a world view of spreading Torah versus just some random guy in jail. L'chora, he's not so engaging in spreading Torah. The Biur Halacha is incredible. Part of that will depend on, like, do they lose their status as Talmud Chacham, depending on why they're in jail. That's going to be a very important sugya that comes up with. We're not going to discuss now. How do you relate to Svarim of Talmidei Chachamim who unfortunately committed certain sins? Are you allowed to still learn their Svarim after they've been ousted? And what if it's just a Shmua? It's not actually a right. They've been they haven't been, you know, prosecuted and sent to jail. But everyone knows, oh, so and so did something, you know, not so appropriate with some of the members of his community. Are you allowed to learn their Svarim? That's going to be totally sort of on that discussion.
Learn the Sfarim that they wrote?
Yes.
Oh, okay. They even like learn from the Sfarim they owned.
No. Like, so-and-so, a very famous Rav in Eretz Yisrael, Rosh Shiva, okay, who ended up being a major pedophile, wrote really well-known Sfarim on the Chumash.
Which one are you talking about?
Doesn't matter. Are you allowed to learn his Sfarim that he wrote?
I wrote kids' books.
He should rot in Gehenna forever. His books you could burn. But Pashas, they're also not really Torah. But here is a hero. He wrote really, really great Perushim on Chumash. Are you allowed to engage in a Svarim? I don't want to, that's a different shir for a different time. Rav Moshe has a tshuva about a certain musician. Are you allowed to listen to, he doesn't quote the musician by name, but a musician who there are certain shmuas that maybe he wasn't such a yash or a yid, and are you allowed to listen to their music? Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that. But he doesn't say which musician he's talking about, so I don't know. But the Biur Halacha then discusses this, and he says, it seems very, this Yerushalmi is very odd. You're going to tell me that you can go to the place where the Torah is, but ulekach zilzu kshemolchim sefer Torah etzlan. Masha einkin bezesha anusim hem rotim mekayim mitzvos kriyas Torah. Lama lo neviyo elim. You have people in jail. They want to be mekayim mitzvos. They want to hear Torah reading. Why can't I just bring them like they're a minion? Are you allowed to? Like he said, Mr. Berurah Biralach, because I don't really get this. I don't. My zilzuto. The sefer. Why is it a zilzu for the sefer Torah that people want to hear Torah? There's people, even when they're in jail, they want to hear Chiyot Torah, they want to hear Shirim, right? Statistically, there's many Bali Tshuva in jail, both in America and in Israel. They have a lot of free time. They have a lot of free time, so they get out of their cells to go to Shirim. It's very, I spoke about this a few years ago when I was discussing with Nadav last year when we were discussing the sugya of Machloka Rishonim and the Petchei Tshuva, Machloka Achronim and the Petchei Tshuva and the Aruch HaShulchan about whether or not your jail cells chayav and mezuzah or not. Very interesting. Shaila, not now. Maybe we'll give shiur on that next week. That's actually a fun shaila. So one of the questions I was discussing with one of my rebbeim, and he said it's actually very common in Eretz Yisrael that people are chozer b'tshuva when they're in jail, and then 10 years later they get out of jail, their wife and kids are waiting for them, and they're like totally from, but their wife and kids are not from at all, and that's often a very interesting question of, A, how long does that last? Because it started just as like, oh, I'll just go to the shiur because I'm bored, I have nothing else to do.
The vast majority of people who are married, when they're in prison, their spouse will be divorcing them anyway. So it's very uncommon.
So the Bir Halacha discusses this. He says, the Dina Nira Afila Mordechai, even according to the Mordechai, that Asur in the case of Ones, okay, that's only one at Yechidim. But the Mishnah Berurah says, this is very important, the Bir Halacha, he points this out, that if you have 10 people who are all in jail and they want a lane, Mitam Dimina Din, Yesh Lomar, Ein Chala Yichud Mitzvah, because we know, Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah of the Tzibor. If you miss Torah reading by yourself, right, you were sick this morning and you didn't hear laning, when you came to Mincha, you came like, Kevin, we're taking out a Torah and we're going to lane because I wasn't here. I wasn't at Shachar this morning because I was really sick. I was throwing up, etc. But if the entire yeshiva went on a tiul in the morning and didn't hear a laning, so that day at Mincha, you lane. Another shayla when I went on Yom Liam a few years ago, after between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, my Shana Aleph, I went on Yom Liam with a bunch of guys.
We were in and last year. We were trying to get access to a Sefer Torah.
So we did that. We didn't have a Torah for Shachar. We got to Meiron by Kever Rashbi from Mincha. So we dive in Mincha, we took out a Sefer Torah and we leaned. Because now we're minyan. We were our own minyan for all week. We had our own minyanim. But we needed a Sefer Torah. So in that case, the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha points out that's going to be acceptable. The Kavachayim disagrees. Rav Chaim Palagi and the Kavachayim over here point out that according to my opinion, there's no way, right, even if they have a Sefer Torah, even if they're 10 people, that are in jail, they want to lane, you should not bring a Sefer Torah, even if there's a minion in jail, you shouldn't bring a Sefer Torah to them. So your halacha is Mekel, Kavachai is Machmer. That's why if you're saying in yeshiva, someone goes upstairs to bring down a Torah, I assume they do it before davening starts.
Yeah, they should.
No, yeah.
They should.
For sure they should bring it down before you guys start. Davening starts at 7:45, unfortunately. So by 7:40, the Torah should be in the Aron Kodesh. Also.
Yeah, Evan.
Oh, are you the Gabbai?
Yeah.
Also, in the middle of davening, when you finish laning, one second, when you finish laning, you shouldn't bring the Torah straight back upstairs. You should put it back in the Aron Kodesh here until the end of davening and bring it up after davening.
Unfortunately, we don't have such a luxury.
What do you mean you don't have a luxury?
We have been instructed to bring it up as soon as we finish with laning.
Who said that?
Huh? Rishul David and Rav Zering.
Interesting. Halachically, or like that's just like the shul is like machmed about it?
Because the shul is very machmed about it, because oftentimes people have left the Torah, they left the Torah downstairs.
I'll discuss the next time I see Rav Shmuel David about this, because it's an interesting question, but definitely you should bring it down before the start of davening. That's very important. Now let's continue and move forward, because we are getting a little short on time.
Yeah, yes.
Before davening starts. Either way, Shachar starts at 7:45, and you need to get here a few minutes early to put on towels and tefillin. Either way, if you get up at 7 o'clock.
Just to remind you?
No,
you're lucky I wake you up.
Let's not get into roommate fights.
It's all good.
Okay, it's good. Okay, now I want to discuss a question. It's a matter of whether or not there's an actual Aron Kodesh for it, and then we're going to shift into our Shaila L'maisa. Okay? The Mishnah Torah of the Rambam tells us in the Halachas of Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah, and Perak Yud, Halacha Yud, then there's a mitzvah to be miyachid for the Sefer Torah, a specific place. L'chadro u'lahadro yotar midai. By setting aside a specific place where you're going to put the Torah, that is being mahader and mechabe, the Sefer, it has a specific place. It makes a chashav. Dvarim shebeluchos habris, hein, shebekol sefer. Just like the luchos and the shivrei luchos had a set place inside the Aron HaBrit, so too each and every Sefer Torah should have a specific place. You shouldn't just have a Sefer Torah that like it's makom kavu, it's just like chilling on the table in the Chadar Ochel. Like that's not mechubad. It's a Rambam, right? Migdal, no? It's the Rambam says it, not me. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin says, Chayev Adam Linhog Kavod Gadol B'Sefer Torah. You have a chiyuv to give a Torah incredible kavod. Then he continues, U'mitzvah liyachid lo makom, l'chabed ha-makom ahu, u'lahadro biyoter. That's why you have a specific mitzvah to be miyachid a place, and l'hadar, you have the special mitzvah to have a beautiful Aron Kodesh. That's why l'maisa, the Aron Kodesh, if you have an Aron Kodesh that is being replaced, you have to bury it. You can't just take that Aron Kodesh and put it in the Chad Aruchel to store the Chad Pami dishes right? No, your pashas can't. Okay, the Aron Kodesh itself. Okay, you're right. The Chasam Sofer about it. Okay, fine, fine. Okay, but at the end of the day, you definitely have a mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins have a mechubod Aron Kodesh. Rav Avidan, the former Rosh Yeshiva in Shalavim, and the former Sgan Rav Roshi, the assistant chief rabbi of Tzal, writes in his Sefer Masav Ahar. He has a beautiful piece all about the sugya, and he says there's two separate inyanim in Kavod Torah. One is that you have a chiyuv about Kedusha Sefer Torah, and then you have, which is also going to include making a separate spot for it, just like there was regarding the Luchas, and also a separate halacha regarding the actual Sefer Torah itself. There's a halacha of Kavod Sefer Torah, and also the halacha of being mechabed itself a makom. It's two separate inyanim. One is to be mechabed the Torah, and one is to make sure that you have a mehudar, mechubud place to put it. The Shulchan Aruch continues in Hilchos Sefer Torah, not in Kriyas Torah, in Yoreder Reish Pei Bet Siv Gimel, that when you go to a place, right, when you go place to place and you bring a Torah with you, you shouldn't put it in like a sack and just, you know, stick it on the back of your donkey. You're supposed to hold it the entire time when you're riding on your donkey. You're now traveling from Modi'in to Tzfat for Shabbos, or what you got, Mali Adumim for Shabbaton, whatever. So you don't just stick the Torah on the bottom of the bus. Someone should be holding it the entire car ride. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins.
I've seen like cases for it that you can.
If you have a case, that might be a different discussion. But if it's just the Torah wrapped in a talus and you stick it under the bus, that's the pasha is pretty problematic, according to the Shulchan Aruch. I don't want to get into the Achorim about that. Okay? And the Avidan points out, based on this, B'shat HaTchak, you know, if there's no Aron Kodesh, there's room to make it, because the poskim seem to indicate, the Aruch HaShulchan discusses this at length, that if, let's say you're traveling at night, or you're afraid there's going to be ganavim, there's thieves, and if they see you riding on your donkey holding a Sefer Torah, they're going to steal it, they're going to beat you up. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, in that case, maybe there's room to make it to allow you to put the Torah in the saddlebags, or to maybe even sit on it so they can't see it. Pashas, it wasn't a huge Sefer Torah or a Sephardi Sefer Torah. So Ravina brings down the Achronim, bring that down. There's time when, you know, maybe you're allowed to do that. Okay? And in that situation, you're allowed to carry, transfer the Torah even when there's no Aron. Pukhazi, my Amador, see what everyone does. When they bring a Torah for a few days, we generally don't always have a specific place for it, such as you put it in the tank. You're going out to war. You put the Torah in the tank. Ain't nobody gets a makom yuchad, the makom sefer Torah. A tank's not a makom yuchad for a Torah, right? I think.
Unless you make it.
Mashma, the ikar adin hu shev makom shev sefer Torah nimtza bekvius ba'in an aron liyachid makom aron. When it's a kavua place for the sefer Torah, then you need an aron kodesh. Rav Avidan argues. Masab Ahar is an incredibly interesting sefer. If anyone's interested, I can get a copy. A lot of very interesting articles about fascinating halakhic questions that relate to the army and security. Unfortunately, many of those articles are very relevant these days. I told someone that yesterday. I've referenced my copy more times in the past 2 weeks than I have in the past year, due to shailas that have come up, but really, really, really interesting and fascinating work. And so he says, but aval be'ofen arai, but for a temporary spot, if you can't, you know, for only a day or two, then there's room to be mekel, because, you know, you can't necessarily always fit a aron kodesh wherever you're going inside the tank. But he says, even if you can't, then you should try and, you know, even take just an empty crate from a bullet crate or something to put and make into a makeshift aron kodesh. Because you shouldn't just have the Torah lying around on the floor of your tank, obviously. But if you're doing that, you should make that with a tznai, because otherwise you're going to have to bury that afterwards. It's going to have a shame chalos kedusha of tashmishi kedusha. And he says, okay. And then he says, Rav Yashiv agreed with this psak, right? Rav Avidan was very, very close with Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv, and he asked him a lot of his shayos. Also interesting, a lot of his shuvas, svarim. He says, and I spoke to Rav Yashiv about this, brings a lot of piskei Rav Yashiv. Rav Goren also discusses this in his tshuva. Sorry, yeah. He says, B'shat HaTchak, such as in war, there's room to be makel to take a Torah inside a tank, even if there's no Aron Kodesh. Rav Goren discussed this. He says, the minhag is that we always bring an Aron Kodesh. You make sure that there's some sort of small Aron Kodesh. Like I showed you the pictures before, the Chayalim, they have those backpacks with the straps, and it's insulated, it's very padded, it has, a proper seatbelt to make sure the Sefer Torah stays a safe Torah. So Rav Goren says, you know, we always bring a Sefer Torah with the teaks, that when you read it, you take it out, you then put it on the bima, you learn from it, and then you put it back inside the bag, which is basically that bag is its Aron Kodesh. Aron Kodesh doesn't need to be made of wood and have doors that open this way with a parochet and this and that. It's a malkum yuchad for the Sefer Torah. So that special bag, right, is going to count for sure as the Aron Kodesh. V'acharka, okay. Then he says, lo yale al shum lev adam lo shor. Shouldn't even consider anyone crossing anyone's mind to be asked such a thing. You bring out the Torah in the bag. That's set aside as an Aron for the soldier's slave. That's for sure going to be okay. Why? Because there's no greater pgam. There's nothing more disrespectful to Torah than Machar Shem Yuchad LaAron VeOmed LaHotzi LaHachnisa. It has its own bag. It has a Aron Kodesh kilo that's set to bring it in and out. That's what we're talking about. That is the main question here, and that's what's going on in the army. Right, Rav Gorman was the chief rabbi of the army. Okay, and there's no difference, he says, between when it comes to these halachas, between a permanent shul and a temporary shul. Right, when your soldier is going out to the field for a week for battle, whatever it is, where you're davening now has a status of a temporary shul. So why is that any different than a permanent shul where you have a Torah? He then says further, "Shekol shekovei alo makom sefer Torah v'amakom nafach l'makom tefillah arai liyom yomayim mutar lavi l'shan sefer Torah." Wherever you are for a day or two, that's going to be considered a temporary shul, in which case you could bring the Torah. Shuv, not everyone agrees with this. This is a bit of a chiddush. Others didn't say that. You know, nothing changed inherently timing wise between Rav Goren saying this and others. Rather, the problem is just bringing the Torah in order for people to read from it now and then bringing it back to base. But when I have an Aron and it's there before davening, and it's there for a few minutes after davening, so then it's going to be totally fine. And he says, especially when it's Sefer Torah that's set aside for the Chayalim, right? It says, right, I showed you guys the pictures of the Pakal Torah, the Pakal Sefer Torah. It's army green. It's, you know, military quality backpack style thing. And there's the ones they attach to your vest. Okay? It says on it, Tzahal. Right? It's marked with the markings and numberings of the army. For sure, that's going to be you know, part of Rukhush style. That's going to be acceptable. And Vada, that's what they take it out to the field. And he says, even just reading it once, it's going to be probably, we're not makbid for the whole 3-day thing, Aruch HaShulchan. Maybe you only can bring a Torah if you're going to read from it 3 times. Lemaise says, Rabbi Tal told me that's kind of a chiddush. The Rishonim don't discuss that. It's something that came up really in the last few generations. And Rav Rimon, Rav Amital, his father, Rav Shlomo Zalman, and others said, you know, the 3-day, 3 landings versus 1 landing is not nowhere to talk about. And he says also, especially during davening, all the different soldiers come together to daven together. They're at Tzibor. So how could it be considered zilzal, a zilzal, a bizayon, to the cover of the Torah, that the Torah is out in the field and all these chayalim are coming together to lane? If it wasn't for the Torah, maybe they would all daven on their own. The kavod of the Torah is that everyone's coming to hear the Torah. So Rav Goren is a very strong proponent that Lamaisa, we should, for sure, be learning from the Torah. Now I want to discuss what's the halacha regarding bringing out the Torah to the field. So Rav Goren here takes a step, but he's really discussing it. He's not regarding the Aron Kodesh, so I put it there, but it definitely stands as a bridge for the next part of our shir. We have 15 or so minutes left, so I'm going to try and do this a little quickly. I apologize. Rav Rimon in Hilchot Tzeva points out that bringing a Torah out to the field, even just to read it once, is going to be acceptable, and he brings a proof from the Shilos and Shuvos Zera Emet in Chelek Aleph Simon and Zion and the Shud Eretz Tzvi in Chelek Aleph Simon Lamed Chet, who say that if you don't bring the Torah out to them, if you have a community, you have a minion, this applies to Migdal 100%, right? You have a Kavua minion right here, correct? But the Sefer Torah is in another place, correct? So you could, in the middle of davening, everyone goes upstairs to lane upstairs. That's what Pashul the Shulchan Aruch says, correct? That's better. What I would say for Shulchan Aruch. The Eretz Tzvi and the Zera Emet say no. Because just like we said, there's a heter for an Adam Chashuv, there's also a heter because of Kvodat Tzibur for Tircha de Tzibura. You're going to have everyone go upstairs in the middle of davening to lane there, put the Torah back there, and then everyone comes back downstairs. That Tircha of the entire Tzibur for everyone to go upstairs and come back down, that is enough to say that is the equivalent to Adam Chashuv. And as a result, if there's a Kavua Minin in one place, and the Torah is somewhere else, you could bring it to them, that's going to be acceptable because the Tircha of the Tzibur is similar to the Kavod of the Adam Chashuv. Rabbi Mullen says, so too, when you have Chayalim, who are always, you know, every few days, they go out to the field, to somewhere else, so that they are a Kavua Minyan. It's the same unit that's always together, and they bring the Torah to them, right? On base, there's a Torah that's meant to go out to the field when the soldiers are in the field, right? There's a set Torah that's going out to the field, that's in the bag. Ready to go. That Torah is Ki'ilu set aside for those Chayalim to go where they are. As a result, that's part of the Kavod Torah, and that's what Rav Rimon brings down from Rav Shlomo Zalman and also from Rav Yehuda Amital, the former Rosh Shiva in the Gush. Rav Nachum Ezer Rabinovich and Shaz and Shuvos Melom De Melchame has a whole sefer on army halacha as well. Rav Rabinovich points out, really, really fascinatingly, that at the end of the day, when it comes to this, you have a kavua minion of chayli mor in the field. And they're davening, and they're laning, and the minhag is that you bring the Torah out to the field to them. Why? We said there's room maybe even for a yachid to be mekel, but now you have a tzibor, you have a community, you have a group, we're always together. There's definitely room to be mekel. And it's in our own kodesh, so for sure there's room to be mekel. But then he adds acharon, acharon chaviv. The one last ha'ara to prove my point, to bring it home, Rav Rabinovich says. The Shulchan Aruch Paskin, based on the Mordechai and the Yerushalmi, that for an Adam Chashav it's allowed. Right? Rav Rabinovich writes, I'm going to read the Hebrew because it's so beautiful. Ein lecha anashim gedolim mechayelim b'nei Torah. There's no one greater than the fact that you have soldiers who are b'nei Torah. Ha'omdim ha'mash mishmar tzein v'arei alinu, who stand on our border to defend us and protect us. V'atorah mitkaberet u'matalebem. And it's just like it's mechubad for the Torah to go to a Talmud Chacham, so too, you have a Torah to go to soldiers who are from, who put on tefillin, who daven every day, who make time to go, time that they could be sleeping or showering. And he says, no, I'm going to daven with a minion. When those soldiers, that's like an Adam Chashuv. That's even more, right? The Torah goes up to them. Shahari Aaron imaluchot haya yotze imachane Yisrael. The Aaron Abrit would go out with the soldiers to battle. Kavachomer, right, for the Torah. So as a result, Rav Rabinovich is very, very strong, but it's 100% they should. Rav Yaakov Ariel Shubal Shal Torah also. It seems Pashad, he says, isn't he Yerushalmi, that it's, the assumption was that it's inappropriate for the Torah to go out for a person to this field. But the Melech, his mitzvah was to bring the Torah out with him all of his life. And then to bring the Torah from place to place.
To lay now, or just to bring it out during battle?
Right now it's really seeming about laning. You're going to be out on the field for the week. Not just for battle. We'll talk about that in a minute. People who go out to go for a hike, or even more so for soldiers. He says, I don't get it. Rav Ariel says, I don't get it. You're going to go for a hike. When you go out for a week-long hike, you bring your sleeping bag, you bring your food, you bring your water, you bring your flashlight, you bring your knife, you bring everything you need. So now you're going to tell me you can't bring a Sefer Torah. You're bringing everything you need except for the Sefer Torah. So now Rav Ariel is saying, what's going on? You're going to bring everything in the world that you want except the Sefer Torah. So by definition, you're leaving the Torah behind. It's not like you're just like only bringing the minimum things. You're bringing all the luxuries, all the regular things you need. You bring your phone, you bring your extra battery pack, and then you bring your second spare battery pack, and your third spare battery pack, so on and so forth. So like it ends up being that leaving the not bringing the Torah with you is the gnai for the Torah. And Rav Ariel points out that this is the difference with, right, that's what you're leaving behind. And he says the difference is that are you bringing the Torah with you, or you're bringing the Torah to somebody? When you're bringing the Torah with you, there's no problem. You're bringing the Torah with the soldiers to the field, versus bringing the Torah to someone who couldn't possibly get it on their own, like the guy who's in jail. That's a different story. The machloket acharon that we ignored, we didn't even discuss about someone who's sick. Is that how we relate that or not? But when you're, that's hagdara of adam chashuv, but not mitzad like oh as chashuv of these from soldiers. But this is part of the hagdara of going out to war. Of going out, that's what's important. Right? As Rav Ariel says, I don't get it. If you have someone who doesn't have a house, they live in a caravan, an RV, and they go from place to place, is it usher for that guy to own a Sefer Torah and to bring it with him? He said, I don't have a clear raya to say one way or another, but Pasha, it seems that he could own a Sefer Torah and bring it with him in his caravan, in his RV. That's his point. You're bringing it with you. So too, the chevra that's going out on a hike, Rav Ariel says, Pasha, that you could bring the Torah. And he says, also, it's similar to when Bnei Yisrael were walking for 40 years in the desert, the Aron went with them. They went together. Elam Asay B'nai Yisrael, Bamidbar, Yotzer, and also they brought the Aron out to the war. Now let's go and see what about during the times of war. Rav Avidan brings down from regarding war. Are they allowed to bring the Torah with them when they go out to war? To the front lines, not just right the things. You don't only bring the immediate what you need. You also bring food. You need food. You bring a lot of stuff out to war. The tanks, when they go into Gaza, the tanks are packed to the brims. You can't even imagine how stuffy and full it is. They're literally tying down equipment on top of equipment on top of equipment on top of the tanks to bring as much stuff as they need, because they don't know when they're going to go out. So the Sefer Torah they bring with them, sometimes they bring it inside a tank. And there's not always going to be a set place for the Torah, because the house space shifts in the tank is going to change constantly. In such a case, Rav Avidan says, right, you should try as best you can to bring it on Kodesh, right? But what about if you can't, always set aside a place for it? So he says, really, you shouldn't then. You should put it either ideally in a hatch above the chairs or on the chairs. But he says, really, you should try and avoid putting it underneath the benches. If you could, right? That's really not so great. Amnam Nir Esh, Lefi Mashakadah V'chinoch Beit Yehuda, V'chinoch Beit Yehuda says, as quoted by the Marsha, that it's mutter to bring a Sefer Torah for the right, it's kind of Yehuda and the Marsha, bring down that you could bring a Sefer Torah to a woman who's having trouble during labor. So you're not allowed to bring it into the delivery room, because that's going to be inappropriate and that's not going to be allowed. And the reason that's brought down why you can bring a Sefer Torah into the delivery room is not because it's a skula or it's a refua. Ella, the schus of the Torah is going to protect her. That's what the Chinuch Lachem Yehuda says. Right? Yeah, as recorded by the Gaon of Marsha and the Shulchan Aruch. The schus of the Torah is protecting him. It's not like some mystical segula of like, oh, you know, you're going to bring the Torah into the room and there's going to be light, etc. It's not that you know, it's a refua. But the Torah actively protects you. So too, you'd want to bring it out to work because that's going to actively be protecting you. Imkain, b'shat mocham enami, yesh lomar demotel tazel sefer Torah, mishum deschus haTorah, megina al metzila. If you're allowed to bring a Torah out from the shul to right outside the room of the delivery room, so too you could bring it with you into battle to protect you. Right? And also, he says even more so, you could be matir, even so, if there's not even 10 people. Right? Your tank, there's not 10 people inside a tank. Right? So, in theory, he says you could put a Torah in each tank, which is only going to be 4 people, even there's not going to be a minion for each person, each Torah, because it's there to protect them, and not just...
You're not risking the Torah with the labor.
Oh, we'll get there in a minute, hopefully. He says, Kabbalah Chomer, if there's 10 people, because even if there's right... Even if there's without, if there's 10 people, then even the Bir Halacha says it's mutter even without the aspect of going to war. Rav Avidan, and he says Rav Eliashiv agreed with that psak, right? Rav Eliashiv also agreed that you can bring the Torahs out to war because the Schus Torah Megina Alechem, just like regarding the Yoledet. Then Rav Avidan continues a few pages later and says it seems possible that at the end of the day you could take the Torah to war and you should make your best to make sure there's an Aron. But if there's not an Aron, you make sure to put it in some sort of box, etc. And make sure, right, and just do everything you can to not put it underneath the benches, as quoted as we mentioned before. So Aruch HaShulchan, you really don't want to be sitting on the Torah. You want to, ideally, you know, hold it. Obviously, during war, you can't be holding it inside the tank the whole time. You have to be watching the screens. You have to be holding the guns, etc. Driving, obviously. But you want to make sure to do it properly. Aruch HaShulchan, okay. Rav Goren on this as well says, it seems pasha, based on the Mishnah, that there's a chiyuv to bring the Aron of Bris out to the war. Right, because the Torah says Ki Hashem Elokeichem Alechem Achem. There's a tangibility of a Kadosh Baruch Hu coming out to battle with you, and as a result, during the time of war, and not just during training, but also during war itself, you're allowed to. Not only that, from the mission, it seems that there's a chovah to bring it out to war. The Gemara in Bava Batra, the Torah was actually inside. There was a Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that was inside the Aron HaBris, right? That was in Bava Batra last year. No, I think no. Last year Pesachim. Never mind. Okay. As a result, Rav Goren, the former chief rabbi of the army, continues, says, right, that's why the pasuk says, Hashem is walking in your field, in the camp. The camp, right, the halachas of a base Knesset are learned from the army camp. Hashem's walking in our camps. Hainu gamke and Aaron and the Sefer Torah, the Aaron and the Sefer Torah are walking in the camp as well. And as a result, he continues, V'yimachanecha kadosh, you want to make sure that your camp is holy. The camp being holy insists that you actually have a Sefer Torah coming into the camp with you. And then he brings the Rambam didn't pass against halacha and says maybe it's because it's not a halacha, it's, you know, it wasn't halacha l'maisa, and maybe it's because, which is an we can make argue on that because the Rambam passed against lots of things that aren't halacha l'maisa. I discussed that this morning with a few people. Not so clear why how that's a good answer for the Rambam, but I don't want to get into that now. Maybe it's also because they were going to Zaron, or because he disagreed in how we read the Yerushalmi. But l'maisa, Rav Goren says, right, based on this, Hashem Elokecha mitalech v'kerem machanecha, who beglala Aron. The Aron in the Torah is what brought Hashem into the Machaneh, and as a result, we want to be mekayim that and make sure to bring the Kadosh Baruch Hu into the Machaneh by bringing the Torahs with us. And as a result, the Shirin of Chayalim, who want to daven and lane, and there's no zilzal at all. Rav Goren says, Chas v'sholom, the Torah, ki'im ha-kadosh Machaneh, by ki'im ha-tzav, v'machaneh kadosh. Rav Goren goes far to say, when the Chayalim bring the Torah out to battle with them, they are mekayim a mitzvah in the Torah of making their camp holy. By bringing the Torah, that is infusing the Machaneh with Kedusha.
The camp or to literally the front line?
Both. Inherently, they go hand in hand.
Because you're sacrificing, by bringing the Torah to the front line, you're correct. Sacrificing some equipment.
Oh, maybe. Okay. But so Goren's saying that you actually, by bringing the Torah with you to the field, to the battle, you're actually being Mekayim Amitzah, which is a massive, which was fascinating. Now, with this, I want to add one more thing. We're trying to go through it a little bit quickly because of time, but let's try and do that. But realistically speaking, as Evan points out earlier, by definition of bringing a Torah with you to battle, there's a high likelihood the Torah is going to get damaged or lost or burnt or destroyed. So are you allowed to bring the Torah out to the field knowing that there's a likelihood that, you know, that your tank gets hit with an anti-tank missile, your entire tank is now on fire and smoldering. So Bapashtas, what comes hand in hand with that is the Torah is going up in flames. You're not allowed to burn a Torah. Are you allowed to bring a Torah to a place where there's a Makom Sakana? Bapashtas seems to be a machloket. The Rebbe understands it's a machloket between two different Gemaras. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kof Chaf says, what's going to be the halacha if you wrote Shem Hashem on your arm? So the Gemara then says over there that if you had a tattoo or you wrote with pen on your hand, Shem Hashem, so you're allowed to go to the mikvah for a tzorach mitzvah, right? Your wife, Bitov, is Mano, has one of your kids wrote Shem Hashem on her arm as a joke, and she has to go to the mikvah for Leil Tefillah. So the Gemara says she's allowed to. But you should put a reed over it, and then Tovel shouldn't be too tight, and that'll be Kilu, you're doing your shadow that it won't be erased. But Rabbi Yossi then says, no, you go and Tovel normally, you don't put the reed on top of it. Just don't scrub it. So long as you don't scrub it, that's grumma of erasing Shem Hashem, and that's going to be acceptable. That's pshat in the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Kof Chaf Amud Bet. That grumma erasing of a Shem Hashem is going to be mutter. But the Gemara Megillah and Daf Kof Chaf Amud Bet disagrees and says, Rabbah, bring that from Rabbah. What do you have when you have a Sefer Torah that was puzzle, it was mitbaleh, it was starting to fall apart, it's not kosher anymore. You put it in ceramic vases, and you bury it with a Talmud Chacham. Okay? Based on the pasuk, when I taught them, Klicheres, Laman Yamdu, Beyam Mirum, because it has to stand for many days. Okay? The Note Yehuda has a long tshuva about this, and he says, it must be that there's a stira between the two. Gemara's, no, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin, that Gram Mechika Shem Hashem is allowed. So what's going on? So why is that? Why is it the case? The Torah and Shulchan Aruch don't pass in that. He says it must be that there's a stira between the Gemara and Megillah, because the Gemara and Megillah is saying you put it in the Kli Cheres. You want to do everything you can to ensure that the Shem Hashem is going to last for a long time. Haraya, that Gram destroying it is not going to be allowed. As a result, right? The Noda Behuda says, yeah, I know it's a little bit of a chiddush, but it seems to be that's going to be the best answer, and it's a good question. As a result, he says it's usher to be Gorei Mechikas Hashem. Shem Hashem, not L'tzorach Mitzvah. So he says two different reasons to be Chalik. One is it's on your skin versus it's on a Torah. Two, one, the Gemara was only Matir L'tzorach Dvar Mitzvah. You're going to the mikvah for Dvar Mitzvah. It's not like you're just going swimming in the pool for fun. You're going to the mikvah for Dvar Mitzvah. As a result, the Noda Behuda says, Gram Mechika Shem Hashemayim is going to be Aser. That's why the Noda Behuda then says, you can't make your whiskeys or your smoked meats in a room where on the walls your wallpaper has Shem Hashem, because over time of constantly smoking the meat or making the alcohol in that room, the smoke is going to erase the name of Hashem. As a result, the Noda Behuda understands the stira between two Gemaras. Gram Mechika is not going to be allowed. So that's going to be our question. Am I allowed to bring a Torah into battle knowing that there is a relatively higher likelihood than any other case that the Torah is going to get destroyed? Rava Avidan brings this down in this discussion, and he quotes the Cheshek Shlomo in the name of Rabbi Eliyahu Eliezer, who brings this down and says, no, the difference is one's a Torah that's written up versus on cloth versus what is written on someone's skin. And as a result, there's a gzera of Tumah, okay? There were many other chumras they made. You're not allowed to bury the Tumas and Maisos with the Torah because it might destroy the Torah. And other things, there's so much, they really pass in the Chesek Shlomo, that you go so far to make sure you can't have even any grumma of destroying the Torah. Dan Mitzilin Otom Ibn Adlega, but we know on Helchos Shabbos that you go out to Yumachal Shabbos to save a safer Torah from a burning house. But you don't go out to save a burning amulet or other, you know, other things from a burning house on Shabbos. You're not Machal Shabbos for things. Right. Yeah, correct. Okay? So as a result, it seems that there's no way to say Grama Shari. Rav Avidan then points out, and with this we'll finish, okay, that at the end of the day, we're Machalik, the Grama, the Dafka, but Grama, the din is, that you can't do so. But in our situation, bringing a Torah out to war, it's not Grama that's going to be destroyed. There's a likelihood it's going to be destroyed, but it's not going to. It's not guaranteed to happen. Grumma means that it's going to happen. There's an aspect of that. The next stage, it's a step or two removed, but that will be destroyed. That's a big difference here, right? Because there's a rogue Torahs that go out to battle are not going to be destroyed, right? There might be some that are destroyed, but that's not majority. That's not going to for sure going to happen. It's more likely than if it's sitting at Shul and you're locked up nicely. But and then he says, right? We know the postgame all discussed whether or not you can, right? They all discuss whether you could bring a Torah in a Makom Sakana, right? You have to, can you sit, right, Aruch HaShulchan, can you sit on it when there's a chashash of Ganavim, and if you're holding it, they'll see it, that's not going to be okay. So Harayah, no one said, wait, you can't even bring the Torah. If it was really usher to bring a Torah into the place of Sakana, they would have said, you can't do it. Leave the Torah by someone in the other city. Don't bring it with you. haraya, that you're allowed to bring a Torah into some level of minimum sakana, even if, you know, there's a higher likelihood. Okay? And then he continues and he says, right, we know that there's a famous Igros Moshe, in Orach Chaim Chelek Aleph, there's three different Shuvas of Moshe. Someone's going into a hospital with an infectious disease, and they say, whatever you bring in will be burnt on the way out. You're not, whatever you bring into the hospital is not allowed to come out of the hospital. So Rav Moshe was asked whether or not you're allowed to bring your tefillin with you to the hospital, knowing that you'll be able to make Chaim Mitzvah's tefillin for the next few months when you're in the hospital, but they're going to have to incinerate them before you leave. Is that mutter or not? Rav Moshe says at the end of the day, you bringing your tefillin is a psik reisha, it's a direct meaning they're going to burn the tefillin. As of Rav Moshe, it's better to be mevatel the mitzvah of seya, putting on tefillin every day, than to have them burn your tefillin for you when you leave. Rav Asher Weiss also paskins that way. And Rav Avi then says, you can't tell me that's the reason that it's going to be you're going to be allowed to bring the Torah with you. No, hafuch. Rather, what's the case? This is different. There's no grumma here. You know, in the case of the Igros Moshe, you know that when you leave the hospital, they're going to burn your tefillin. Here, there's a likelihood that they'll get damaged in battle, but who knows if that'll really happen. As well, Rav Avi then says, you 100% can bring it because that's not grumma. There's a likelihood your Torah will get ruined, but that doesn't mean for sure it's going to happen. As well, and he says, Rav Yashav Paskin, 100%, you can bring the Torah into battle. Rav Yashav also disagreed with the promotion of Asher White. So Rav Yashav Paskin, you can even bring your tefillin into the hospital, knowing that they're going to burn them on the way out, but that's a different shiver for a different time. But Lamaisa, Avidan Bashim Rav Yashav, 100%, you can bring the Torah into battle, even though there's a likelihood for risk, because that's not, it's not a guaranteed risk. As a result, doesn't fall into that steer between the Gemara and the Rebbe Yehuda and the Chesek Shlomo. Bezrat Hashem, we should be zochet. This should only be, lomo drasha l'kabel schar, not halacha l'maisa. Bezrat Hashem, we should only know. Besaras tovos mamish meher Rabbi Amenu see a gula shlema, and not have to deal with more shirim and shilas about going out to war. But definitely an important one, an interesting one. Are you allowed to bring a Torah out to war? And what are the different criteria that come out with it? Bezrat Hashem, everyone should have an amazing, amazing day.